we don't want her to keep all that sweetness at her house, right? Sure. The picture up on the screen is in Mozambique. And we, the church here, Hammer Memorial United Methodist Church, are partnered together with this church known as In Harare United Methodist Church. Today they had their building dedication. They finished their building that we helped build with our finances. That is the pastor and his wife, the African-American one, and we paid his salary. Do you know how much he makes a year? $660. Mozambique is one of the poorest countries in the world. Right now, the church there is growing leaps and bounds in every denomination, but it's growing in the United Methodist Church, too. Matter of fact, we have a pastor right next door at Star Chapel who's from Mozambique. I've got to spend some time with him and bring him over here and show him where Aberdeen's is. But we wrote a letter to them, and we wrote a congratulations to them. I'm going to read it. And then we set a prayer for them today to be prayed. And we're going to pray that prayer together in just a moment. But this is what we wrote to them. We congratulate you on the dedication of your new building. May God give you many souls to be discipled in Jesus Christ. May this be the beginning of greater things you accomplish for God's kingdom and glory. Peace in Christ, Hammer Memorial United Methodist Church. And this is the prayer that we prayed, and I would ask you to repeat after me. You might have a little hard time with In Harare, but we'll do that one word, okay? Follow after me. All powerful God,
fill each member
of In Harare.
United Methodist Church.
With your Holy Spirit. Enable them to accomplish.
Your Great Commission.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We started last week studying the book of 1 John. And so the scripture that we're going to read today will be from 1 John chapter 2. So stand together for the scripture reading. Good time to stretch your legs too. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, you can be seated. The book of 1 John is really a book that teaches us how to walk in our Christian life, how to walk with God. You've heard people say, I want to see you walk the walk. You know, you talk the talk, but let me see you walk the walk. And this is a book that's really directed at Christians and how to walk in the light. If we want that penetrating light of Jesus Christ to be in our life and allow the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ, to direct our steps, then we live by what it says in this book. Now the question we ended with last week is this. Very simple question, but a question that we need to be asking ourselves, not once in a blue moon, but every day. What does God want? And when we say that, we're asking God, what do you want from me today? What do you want me to do today, Lord? For this is a day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, but Lord, what do you want? What is your will? That is being a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I just put down some things here because I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but the Church of Jesus Christ, the Kingdom of God, and the Word of God run opposite of what our culture that we live in always has, always will. It runs counterculture to the world view and world philosophy. In other words, we surrender not to the culture that we live in, and we do not live like the culture of what we live in here in the United States of America or whatever country you're in, whether it's Mozambique or wherever, but we surrender to a kingdom culture, the kingdom of God culture. Now, culture is supposed to be affected by us. We're here to be the light of the world to change the culture that we live in. But as we've been seeing over the last 30 years or so, culture has been changing the church and changing the kingdom culture. Let me give you some examples that I've noticed, and I'm sure you've noticed. Television. Some of you here are old enough to remember when there were only three channels and you only got two. And you played with the rabbit ears to try to get that third one in. You know, you couldn't quite get NBC. Now, I don't know how many there are. 600, 700, 1,000? And guess what? Do you think God would want us to watch TV 6 hours a day? I don't think so. But how many people who are supposed to be walking the walk are watching television 6 hours a day? How about, would God want us to be on social media 2 hours a day? I don't think so. I think the scripture is quite clear when it comes to that area. What about the music that we listen to? Things that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we would not allow in our house. We would not allow in our car. We now allow it, and we hear these perverse lyrics, and lyrics that are not pleasing to God, that are actually just a part of our culture. What about your vocabulary? I've noticed Christians' vocabulary has changed. That certain words we can say now, I'm not going to say them, okay? I can spell it, but that's the same as saying. And we're saying the same words that the world is saying, so that when we're at work with them, or we're at school with them, we're not really living the kingdom culture. We're not really influencing them to follow God. We're following them, right? And we're going to see four scriptures today. We're going to look at them, and we're going to see the instructions that God gives us in order to walk with Him in the light as He's in the light. What about, is it God's will and would He want you to marry or date an unbeliever? That's become quite popular. The scripture is very clear that we're not supposed to yoke ourselves together with an unbeliever. What about, is it God's will for me to have sex before marriage? That seems to be quite common now. Maybe they talk about a youth group, but we really don't talk about it from the pulpit. What about living together? Is that what God wants? Is that His perfect plan? I'm talking to people that grew up in the church in the 40s and 50s and the 60s. That are older than me. I know you think I'm really old, but I'm not really that old yet. The last church I was at, I did 30 weddings. Every one of them except for one, the people were already living together. Is that what God wants? Now, you know, other churches won't marry people. That's why they come to me. Because United Methodists will marry anyone. Because we believe in God's grace. And we believe that, and I believe that I have an opportunity to help that couple, even if they live together for 50 years and they have grandchildren, how to have a healthy marriage and connect with God and be closer to having a walking, living, light-filled life in Jesus Christ. So we don't condemn people for any of these sins. habits or any of these ways we walk. We would never want to step on anybody's toes. We don't want to really hurt the culture. We don't really want to be counterculture. We want to fit in. But Jesus didn't call us to fit in. He called us into the world to be light in darkness and to be a change agent and to bring his kingdom to come and his will to be done. That's what we pray so often, like we prayed the Lord's Prayer earlier this morning. Being a disciple back in the time of Jesus, and when scripture was written, was you were an apprentice. Whether you were under a carpenter or whether you were under a teacher, what you did is you lived exactly as that teacher or mentor you had, whether it was a carpentry or whatever it was. They didn't have plumbing. Well, they might have had plumbing. I don't know. You lived exactly like them. If they slept on the floor, on a mattress, that's what you did. If they walked with a limp, you walked with a limp. If they walked with long strides, you walked with long strides. You did whatever your teacher was training you to do. You lived exactly like them. You were their apprentice. You were their disciples. This is the first verse we're going to look at. Look at it. It's in 1 John 2:6 on the screen. Whoever claims to live in Christ, or whoever claims to live in Him, must walk as Jesus did. I never noticed that word before until this past week, the word must. Look what it says. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. We must walk counterculture. John also wrote this. He said, if someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandment, that person is a liar. We read that earlier. And the truth is not in them. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Maybe the Holy Spirit needs to say that to me. There's sometimes I'm not living like I should. I'm allowing the culture to determine what I'm going to do and how I'm going to live my day. The psalmist wrote this in Psalm 119 and 105. He said, your word, talking about God's scripture, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Staying on the path of God's purpose for my life and for your life is not easy. That's why we need Jesus to help us. That's why He's given us the Holy Spirit to indwell us and empower us to live a counterculture and to live a kingdom culture life, to change the world around us. You see, it's not about us. It's all about Him. I read somewhere, someone put on Facebook, what we need from our pastor is more of the Bible and less stories. We need the Word of God, and I agree with that. Darkness, understood biblically, is where the hidden things of evil have freedom to thrive. And darkness is all around us. And we are sometimes called into that darkness. And so when we're called into that darkness, we need to be light. We need the Word of God to be our lamp, to be our flashlight. We should not go into any day without the Word of God. It is our lamp. You see, before there were streetlights, and when this scripture was written, people walked the streets at night with lamps or lanterns. You know why? The basic reason was because there were no sewage lines in a city. The sewage was in the street, running down the side of the street. Human poo-poo and human pee-pee. And if you went out in the dark and you didn't have a lamp, there was a good chance you were going to step in the sewage. And yucky poo-poo. Yuck. Not only that, animals were the main mode of transportation. And for some reason, they can't hold it until you get them home. And they just go right in the middle of the street. Donkey poo-poo and donkey pee. So you had to have a lamp so you would not step in this stuff. Guess what? You can get used to any environment if you want to. If you spend enough time anywhere, you can get used to it. You could live in a sewage place if you stayed there all the time. You wouldn't notice the smell anymore. And I think that's what has happened a lot with us in the church, that we are so immersed in the sewage of our culture that we're used to it. Can anybody give me a witness on that? We're so used to it that we've adapted our life to living in the sewage of world philosophy and a culture that is not kingdom culture. Now, is anyone following me here so far? I grew up on a dairy farm. And we milked a lot of cows. And you know what the barn smells like? It smells like poop. And we have friends come and visit from the city. And I say, let's go up in the barn, because we had a basketball hoop up where we kept the hay. We could play basketball. And they would come to the barn and they would gag. Ugh, ugh. Oh, that smells horrible. I was used to it. I was in it all the time. And then when we played basketball, we'd leave and we'd walk down by the cows, and of course the cows, they poop all over the place and they're peeing and they're jumping back like that. And I'm just walking right through and telling Bob. Matter of fact, one of my friends who lived in my neighborhood walked through the barn and the cow pasture barefoot. I mean, it's all in cow poo poo. We're used to it. Then we would get home and that person from the city, a friend or whatever, would say, oh, my clothes smell like cow manure. Well, we were used to it. When Grandpa came in or Dad came in from the barn, we didn't say, ooh, you smell like the barn. We were used to it. And we were used to living in a culture that does not glorify God, that does not do what God wants, does not care what God's will is. But we as the church and we as Christians need to heed this verse. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Well, I got to move along here. We're going to get all four verses. The next one we're going to look at is this, found in 1 John 2:5. But if anyone obeys His words, God's love is truly made complete in him. I love that. If I obey God, His love is going to be made complete in me. Walking in obedience sometimes is difficult, especially when you see no measurable results. I mean, you're walking for the Lord and you're living for Him, and the people you work with are not changing. They're not noticing it. Year after year, and you decide, why even bother? You know, why do this anymore? Or you keep walking in the light and your family member is still sick, or that family member is still not changing. They're still walking down the wrong path. Sometimes our obedience is not measurable. Sometimes it's hard. But hang in there, because God always gives us a harvest. We always will reap what we sow. And if we sow obedience to God, He will be faithful to reward us. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I was sort of weak. But I believe that you believe that. We were in Nebraska. And some of you can relate to this. Some of you are Sunday school teachers and have done ministry in the church. It's like you do your class week after week, year after year, and you don't see any measurable results. That's not up to you, that God's doing something that you don't know in the unseen. We were at the church in Nebraska for 5 years. It was like being in the desert. No one got baptized. No one came to the Lord for 5 years. To get up there to preach, it was like preaching to dead, dry bones. And I said, Lord, I can't take it anymore. I started looking for another place to go. I started sending out resumes. I started sending out pictures of my family. I thought maybe, you know, they'd see my beautiful daughters and want me to become their pastor. I don't know. I was desperate. But, you know, I continued to obey God. And God sent one of the biggest revivals I've ever experienced in my life. And literally hundreds of people came to that little prairie town and found the Lord Jesus Christ. And people, like the one week, 30 people baptized, most of them young people. I could have given up just one day too early, one week too early. Oh, don't we do that? We throw in the towel so easily. See, feelings get in our way. Feelings change. They go up and they go down. But walking with God takes faith. Walking with God takes faith, and it takes commitment, and it takes consistency. But a little experiment here. I'm going to borrow Hunter for a while. Hunter, come on up here. You're going to walk with me. I hope our insurance covers this. Someone check the policy. Okay, I want you to put your arm in my arm like this. Okay? You got to go wherever I go. All right? You ready? Left. Stop. Right. Left. No, right. Stop. Stop. Backwards. Forwards. Almost lost you. Right. Right. Up the stairs. Stop. His foot is ahead of mine. Okay, thank you. Give him a hand for doing that. God is looking for not only a clinging bride, his church, but he's looking for a walking partner. Adam and Eve, before sin came into this world, walked with God. Guess what? God wants to walk with you. You may get out of breath. Whew. It was a little hard to jerk his body around. I tried my best to make a trip, but it didn't work. Let's look at the next verse. It's found in Proverbs. It says, the lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of man. It searches out his inmost being. What is going on in our body will decide how we walk. If your back is out, you're going to walk a little bit crooked. Somebody can relate to that. Your back is hurting right now. And you're saying, thanks, Gene, for reminding me. If your knee's out, you're going to limp. And if your foot has gout in it like mine did, you're going to walk like Quasimodo. Sort of like this, dragging your foot behind. But the thing of it is when there's something wrong in our spirit, there's something going on in your spirit, it will affect our walk with the Lord. But no one else sees it, right? Because it's in the spirit. The lamp of God is in us to reveal strongholds in our innermost being, in our spirit. Now we're running out of time, but there are 25 strongholds in the spirit that are listed in the Bible. But we're not going to go through all those. There's no way. Matter of fact, maybe I'll just do two. I was going to do four. But for the sense of time, let's do the spirit of bondage. It's found in Romans 8. We can have bitterness deep down inside of us, affecting our spirit, and we don't even realize it's there. We're bound to it. Or we're enslaved to alcohol, or sex, or drugs. And it's a spiritual thing. And only the light of Jesus Christ can come into that darkness and dispel it and heal it. Another one is the spirit of heaviness. That's where there's despair and there's great grief and sorrow that just dominates our life. We need the light of Jesus Christ to come in. We need to have the lamp of God shine upon that stronghold and kill the darkness and the fungus of that spirit. It could be also apathy or hopelessness or suicidal thoughts. I said I was going to only do two. I'm going to apply and do three. Another very common one is the spirit of fear. That's where you dread what's up ahead. That's where you have anxiety and sometimes you don't even know where it's coming from. Panic attacks, phobias. But the scripture says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's what happens when God shines his lamp and his light on those strongholds. The last scripture we're going to look at is this, found in John 8:12. It says, Jesus spoke, this is what he said, I am the light of the world, if you follow me. I underline that, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. When I was in Boy Scouts, we used to go to these camporees, and there'd be like 500 or 1,000 different Boy Scouts there from different troops, and even some Canadians would come, Canadian troops, because living upstate New York and we're sort of close to Canada. But at night we had a bonfire. Now why couldn't they have a bonfire in a reasonable place? No, they had it on top of a mountain, and the only way to get there was up through the woods, steep like this. And they only had one trail for 500 to 1,000 Boy Scouts that was about this wide. So of course we would all see whoever had a flashlight. It seemed like only 1 out of 5 Boy Scouts had a flashlight. For some reason, we were smart enough to know where to go camping. We need a flashlight. And I would try to get near someone that had a flashlight, because going up that hill, there were rocks, there were branches, there were roots sticking out. And climbing up was hard, but coming down was even worse, because you had momentum and you're trying to hold yourself back. I would say no less than 25 people get hurt on the way up and probably 50 on the way back every year. Did they change having the campfire up on the hill? No. But one thing I knew, as long as I had a lamp, I had a light in front of me, I was safe. And that's what the Lord's wanting to do for us. He's wanting us to walk in the light, to follow him, and he'll take us out of darkness so that we won't have to walk in the darkness anymore. I'm just praying that God will shine his light upon the church of America today. Shine his light upon us. That we would be a church that goes counterculture. That we would be a church that would truly bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. That we would be a church that truly is a kingdom culture. And that we do not submit just to the world's culture. The big question is, who are you following today? Hopefully you're following Jesus, the light of the world. Hopefully we're not following any bondages in our life, or self, or the world's philosophy, or culture. Amen. Lord, take your word and do what you need to do in it. For each one of us today, we're in a different place, and we need to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.